Answering your tough financial questions for the past 21 years, it's Hanson McLean's Money Matters with co-hosts Scott Hanson and Pat McLean.
Hey, this is Scott, and Pat and I have a great program lined up for you today. We're going to be focusing on what are some things to be concentrating on if you're planning on retiring this year. So if you're planning on retiring in 2018, or really in the next couple of years, you'll want to stick around for this program. We've also got some great calls coming up that you want to hear from as well. So stick around for Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Do you have a financial question that needs answering? Call us at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
Thanks for joining us on this first weekend of 2018. Happy New Year to everybody, and glad you are joining us here at Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Both myself and my co-host here, we're both financial advisors, certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant. We spend our weekdays meeting with people like yourself and come here on the weekends to be your financial planners on the air.
Yeah.
So whether we got a great program today because it's the start of the new year. Most of us during this time, many of us make some sort of New Year's resolutions or goals or at least planning. Most of us at least kind of step back and think about the year ahead.
And right? We know that because the amount of new people that come and visit us hits a spike in January and February.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to do it this year. And the first thing to
just start, like the gym. It's always crowded the
it
first
is.
Week or two, and it tapers back off.
And they all go away?
I guess. So on this program, one of the things we're going to be addressing in the program is if you are going to be retiring this year, or really in the next few years, what are some things you need to be focusing on? So if retirement's around the corner for you, what are the things you're going to be focused on?
Yeah, What should you be doing now so that you can retire either this year or in the next few years?
Yeah, so we're going to talk about those issues. And, of course, we're going to take your calls and answer your questions regarding some financial issue in your life. And if you want to join Hanson McLean's Money Matters, simply call 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 888-2-HANSON. Numerically, it's 888-242-6766, and would love to take your call. And here is as we're kicking off the new year, kids going back. Both myself and Pat here. We both have college age kids, so
yes,
we can totally relate to families up and through this stage in life, only because this is what we're our own personal realities. So, a quick story before we go, my daughter who is home for Christmas.
And she is 21?
22. Last semester of school, hopefully. And a big group of friends have been getting together for a Christmas dinner for 5 or 6 years. So some family hosts them. And they were doing a white elephant gift.
Okay.
And so at my house, we have a cupboard where we have white elephant type gifts. I don't think it's just somehow we've accumulated.
It's not actually labeled the white elephant
closet, but
exactly. Everyone really kind of.
Yes. So I had a few, I thought, which were good options. And she says, "Hey, Dad, how about one of your books?" I said, "Book? What kind of book?" "No, one of your books."
Oh, the one you wrote?
Yes. And
decision points?
Well, I've got one, personal decision points, just 7 steps to your ideal retirement transition. But I also, Money Matters, which I wrote about 10 years ago.
Now, which one was it?
Money Matters, because it had a huge picture on me in the back. And she chuckles as she looks at the picture. And I said, "What's so funny?" "Oh, just this." And so her friend comes over to pick her up or take her to the party. And she says, "Oh, check out what my white elephant gift is," and shows the book to her friend and turns it over. And they both start just busting up laughing. And I said,
You're standing there. They know you're standing there.
I'm like, what is the humor in this?
Okay.
I mean, your college is being funded in part because of things like this.
Yes. And what did she say?
Nothing.
How many times?
How has that come to this point in my life?
So in the white elephant gift, you're going to have to forgive me because I don't really participate in those games, but they get traded.
If you get invited to parties, Pat.
Actually, and they get traded. Do the gifts get traded?
Yes.
And so how many times did this book get traded? Did you know?
I don't know. I don't. Didn't ask. But I was reminded, and then we'll get to the college here. In college, I was at a college party. It was a Christmas party.
You keep talking about these parties you go to, and then you make little comments like when I get invited to a party.
Well, you're acting like you don't know what a white elephant gift exchange is.
I don't know if it's a one-time gift or they trade them among each other.
I think a traded one.
Okay.
So this was a traded one. This was on a college.
Okay.
This, a woman named Dawn, I guess she's a girl's college student.
What's her last name?
So Dawn, there was a card. Now, Dawn did not put this into the under the tree. Someone else did. It was a gift certificate for Baskin-Robbins, and it said, a date with Dawn.
Wow.
And someone opens it and is kind of excited, some guy, and then it starts getting traded around.
Okay.
And my poor friend Dawn, well, she's like, no, I can't. There's no. So I was able to trade.
Got that? And you didn't go on the date with Dawn?
No, of course not.
Because you don't like ice cream.
I don't like ice cream. But it was, I don't know why I brought that up.
Date with Dawn. Well, a little.
I was thinking the kid's going back to school, college, and.
Yeah, my son actually graduated from college and he's got a job and it's
that's a beautiful thing.
It's grown up, like he's grown up.
That is
like
a beautiful thing. My hope and dream.
It's interesting though.
Anyway. What, like, when's he going to be fully off payroll?
Now, I know.
Cell phone, no car insurance.
Oh, yeah, I'm not involved in any of that. I don't know.
All right.
For the rest of the listeners, my wife is an accountant by education, and so she pays all the bills and that stuff. I assume he's getting off payroll, but I'm not going to ask. It's just better that way.
Yeah, I get it. All I know is if there's like a second, my next life, I'm coming back as a Hanson kid.
No kidding.
Yeah. Well, much easier than my route. Anyway, 1-888-2 Hanson to be part of Hanson McLean. Let's go to Denver and talk with Dan. Dan, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hey, guys. Happy New Year. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, Happy New Year to you as well.
What can we do for you, Dan?
I have questions on two different subjects. The first one, cryptocurrency. Does it have a future, and is it too late to jump on that bandwagon?
Wow. That's a great question. What's your second question? Maybe we'll answer that one.
precious metals, silver. I mean, it's just sitting there.
Got it.
These are actually quite related. Off?
These are very related.
And by the way, so we'll answer the question, but we did it. We did a program that aired the weekend of the 16th and 17th, I believe. That we did, we went into cryptocurrency in depth and in Bitcoin. So if you want kind of Hanson McLean's opinion on that, go to HansonMcLean.com and get a copy of that podcast, or you can do it from iTunes or whatever and get a copy of that podcast.
But let's talk about what these two things that you brought up have in common.
And there was an article in the Wall Street Journal a week or so ago where a company raised $700 million. And they stated that they were going to have a coin that has no purpose whatsoever. And they raised $700 million.
Yes.
That's a lot of money.
It reminds me an awful lot of the .com. So here's what the two things that have in common with both the cryptocurrencies and precious metals is that they're not...
No one's using them as currencies.
Yeah, and they're not factors of production. They don't produce anything.
There's no rents being provided by them.
Right. They're not manufacturing anything.
There's no interest paid on them.
There's no income coming from it. So what's the value in a precious metal or a cryptocurrency, which is, since it doesn't produce anything, what you're hoping for is that the asset price goes up and that you will be able to sell it for a larger amount. Well, what we do know is, at least with precious metals, they've got some baseline, which is the cost of actually getting that metal out of the ground, mining it.
Well, cryptocurrency has some base value there as well, Pat.
And the cryptocurrency, Scott, I was just going to go there, is that form, you mine it as well. It's mined digitally or technology-wise, it's mined. But the idea that these things will, I read an article couple of weeks ago where they said that this Bitcoin is going to be over $300,000 a coin in a relatively short period of time.
So the end 2018. So Dan, the reality is at the end of this year, Bitcoin could be $300,000. Or it could be $300.
Yes. It could be, you're just speculating that someone else is going to pay more for it.
The blockchain technology it's based upon is real. It's going to change many things.
In fact, Vanguard just made a large investment in blockchain technology.
The blockchain technology, not Bitcoin
currency. Not Bitcoin currency itself. So
the challenge we have with these as investments, and why, you know, Hanson McLean, we've have 4,500, roughly 4,500 households that we manage. We serve $2.5 billion. The reason why over our 25 years we have not invested in precious metals is because, frankly, we don't know when to buy and when to sell. Because it's all based upon the greater fool theory, which is you need to find a fool even greater than yourself to pay a higher price than what you did. And whether it's Bitcoin or silver or gold, because they don't produce anything, how do we, it's all based upon the psychology of the market in the future. And
no one can measure that. And we don't know what the next Bitcoin's going to be.
And there will be some time when Bitcoin just totally tumbles.
Yes. And whether that's, you know, a 20% pullback, an 80% pullback, it's a 90% pullback. But we would encourage you to go back and listen to that
Our Hanson McLean's podcast for the weekend of the
where we
December
talked
16th,
about
17th.
Other bubbles in the market.
Okay.
And this isn't the first bubble in the market. We had railroad bubbles.
You know the hard thing is right now, though?
It's hard to stay away
Bitcoin, my son, my college son, had been kind of talking to me for a while about it, for like a year. Bitcoin, oh, Dad, I should get Bitcoin. And then it keeps going higher, and I tell him, no, son, don't be a fool, you know. I'm an investment advisor, a middle-aged man. You're a college student. What could you know? And then he's like, Dad, you've been a fool because look at how well this thing's done. The challenge from an investor standpoint is when we see an asset going higher and higher, and then we read about people making money, and then maybe we even know somebody who's making some money, we feel like, ah, man, we're missing out.
Yeah. So,
but eventually it's going to turn around, and it's that those times that people that get invested end up losing.
And why are you confident that it's going to turn around? That it's going to go down, Scott?
Because these things always do.
Always do. Always. Always. When the asset price no longer has any relationship to its earnings or what it does, then you become afraid.
The challenge with Bitcoin, there's other cryptocurrencies out there. So even if we say, wait a minute, the future of the monetary society is going to be a cryptocurrency based upon blockchain technology.
Which
even
one do you
if
buy?
That's the case, why is Bitcoin the one that's going to be dominant?
Yeah. You come out with Scott Coin or Pat Coin. Yeah. Appreciate the call.
Yeah. Sorry, Dan. I wish there were some.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
And the precious metals is the same thing.
I wish there were some easy ways to get rich quick. Make life so much easier, wouldn't it?
Yeah, actually, if you say...
Since you became a young adult, no, I'm just kidding.
The reason with that is I thought about that. What happens is if everyone could get rich quick, then it would be a phenomenal inflationary environment. and then you wouldn't really be rich because
a new car would cost $4 billion.
Yeah, everyone around you would actually bid up the prices and it would be inflationary. So... you could have a lot of money, but still not be rich.
Yeah, you're listening
on
Hanson
a relative basis.
You're listening to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. If you want to join us, and later in the program, we will be talking about the things. If you're retiring this year, 2018, or in the next couple of years, what are some things you need to be paying attention to now? So we'll be covering that. But we'll continue with calls 1-888-2-Hanson to join us. We'd love to take your call 1-888-2-HANSON. And we are in Northern California with Brian. Brian, welcome to Hanson McLean.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
What can we do for you?
Yeah. Well, I had a question. some years back in the late 70s, I'd put my retirement money, started it in a, back then, I guess it was called a money market, and now it's a fixed annuity.
Okay.
And I'm getting close to the point, maybe in a year and a half, where I'm going to be forced to start taking it out.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got another small amount of money in the same company, but in a different a package that produces about the same amount of interest as the total fixed annuity does.
Okay.
What's the interest rate you're receiving?
I was wondering. Pardon?
What's the interest rate on these?
I think the fixed annuity has been around lately 2%, maybe something like that, a little over.
So I'm confused. Let me just back. I'm a little confused because if this was from the late 70s, some of these contracts back then had really high floors on them.
Like
4% and 5%. I have one client that had a 5% guarantee, lifetime guarantee in the annuity. So
when did you purchase this annuity?
Well, it, like I say, it was a money market. This was through TIA, CREF.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't actually calculate the rate, but it it's a small amount. It's about $66,000.
And is this in a 403B or a 401K or an IRA?
I believe it was a 401K. At the time, I was kind of shy of stocks.
Yeah.
So I wanted it to be in something that was secure. And you're right, back then it was paying quite a bit of interest because it compounded up. It was double digits back in the early 80s. So
okay. So what is your question for us?
My question is, would it be wise to try to start converting that earlier into, say, the general stock market, you know, still in, within the company?
Got it. And so you're 69?
No, I'm 68.
Okay, you're 68. So have you ever, you said you were shy of or didn't want to invest in stocks in the 1970s. Tell us about what your portfolio looks like now. Do you own any stock or stock mutual funds in your portfolio now?
Just a very small amount. I've never been much of a saver, you know, raising a family and this and that. Money I always had.
But you have
other places to go.
Where's your retirement?
I assume that you retired from a school or university. Is that correct?
No, I worked for a place that was attached to Stanford.
Got it.
But
that's where the 401k
came or anything like that.
Where does your retirement income come from?
Social Security, basically, and my wife has just recently retired, so she's been working up until this year.
So here's our concern. your retirement savings in this account has been in fixed income the last
40 years.
40 years. We're 9 years into a bull market with the stock market. Bull market just means a market that it goes up. Historically, we have a 20% pullback every 3 years. That's what's happened historically. So we're kind of overdue. Not to say it's going to happen this year because we can't predict those things, but we're clearly overdue. So our concern is we said, Brian, why don't you take half of your retirement or a third of your retirement and put it in the stock fund? What happens if that stock fund falls by 20 or 30% this year?
What would you do?
Right.
And you're 68, and you've gone this far without investing. And whether it was the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do, hindsight is always 20/20. And what drives investment or investment behavior is the individuals that are making the investment. That is what drives investment behavior. And you could see a completely different philosophies in the same family. My wife is not as aggressive as an investor as I am.
Your wife wanted you to sell some of your holdings in the last downturn. You remember you telling
yes,
about
she
this?
Did.
She had highlighted, did some own research and said, Pat, I think we should look at.
What did I do?
You probably bought more.
I bought more. But the point being is I don't think it's the time for you in your life to do this, or maybe ever. And the reason is you know, it would have made much more sense for you to do it in your 30s, 40s, and 50s. When you actually had a longer time frame and could tolerate a little bit more risk in the portfolio. I believe that a well-balanced portfolio is going to do better over a long period of time with equities in it. But there's a cost associated with that, and that's market volatility.
And a lot easier to learn to deal with when you don't need the money.
Right. Well, there was one peculiarity about this fund. they told me that you couldn't take it out all at once because it was a money market fund. You could only take it out in tenths. And several years ago, I tried to, I was of the mind to start making a change, and I was talked out of it by a financial advisor with the company. And basically wound up leaving it there.
I suspect that had probably more to do with the surrender charge on the annuity contract than the underlying investment itself.
At some point in time, you got out of the money market and someone sold you an annuity contract that
had a surrender charge on it, most likely. And typically those will allow 10% free withdrawals. But that's a completely different question. How much debt do you have? Who do you owe money to?
Right now... maybe a few thousand in credit cards and house payment, mortgage payment.
And what do you owe on the home?
Well, let's see, about $260,000, but it's jointly owned with another family member.
Got it. So here's the thing. We got a good run here, but
leave that money where it's at.
And if you want to do something, do 10% or something.
Yeah.
Of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you might want to sit down with a qualified advisor and actually do a little financial planning.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and that's what I was thinking. That's I listen to your show when I'm have it available to listen to, and I like the way you guys talk. And I thought,
well, I appreciate
like
that.
To see what you had to say.
Yeah, I wouldn't make any wholesale changes.
Our concern
portfolio.
Is that the reason the equity markets look attractive to you today is because they've experienced a large run-up in price. And, and 2017 was a great year for the stock market. And you think, man, maybe I'm missing out on something. Maybe I should be invested in stocks. But really, you know, the old adage of buy low, sell high. So things are high. Will they go higher still? Yeah, probably, particularly over the long term. But they can certainly go down on the short term as well. And again, our concern is just the mindset you have going into it. Would that mindset be one to be able to withstand the downturn? So anyway, I appreciate the call. You know what, Pat? You hear us railing against annuities on this program.
Fairly often.
And it's not that all annuities are always bad.
Correct. There are rare circumstances where an annuity
and
may make sense.
A few years back, there was some, you can get some good guaranteed income on some of these variable annuity contracts. Frankly, the insurance companies mispriced them. And they were great insurance, lifetime insurance you can get in place, and they made sense back then. Today, those contracts rarely exist.
And even if you could get them, they're very expensive.
Sometimes maybe a lifetime annuity, immediate annuity could make some sense. The challenge with so many of these products, they are missold. And so that last caller, he had some money. What it sounds like to me, if dissecting, right, here's what happened. There was money in a 401k.
In a money market.
In a money market, that some annuity salesman talked him into moving it into this annuity product. Otherwise, there wouldn't have been any surrender charges on it.
Yeah. Or he talked about a 10%. That was the
free withdrawal amount from the.
Yeah. And the problem with annuities is that they're relatively complex in nature, but they're explained as really being simple. And the average consumer can't tell good from bad. So,
and
our philosophy, just stay away from all of them. You'll be better off.
And the commissions on them are so high.
They can be.
The challenge is, if you're working with some advisor that's selling annuities, I met Pat a few weeks ago. I was at a different kind of conference. I met this guy. He was a financial advisor of sorts in, I think he was in Connecticut. And I'm chatting with him. And as we're talking about him, I thought we had quite a bit in common until we start. He's a radio program out. We start talking, and he says 50% of their business goes into annuity contracts.
Wow.
50%.
Then so you realize you had almost nothing in common with him.
Well, the challenge is when someone's in his office and he talked about his advisors are all on some commission split. So I'm like, I'm looking at him. You know, I actually got frustrated because I thought, he's probably marketing himself as a fiduciary.
Because he's a part-time fiduciary.
He's a part-time fiduciary. Someone comes in thinking that they're just going to be a fee-based advisor. The average consumer can't tell the difference, right? So the next thing you know, he's got one of his reps in there on a commissioned payout that says, oh, why don't we put 50% in this particular annuity, and might choose the high end.
Cramming garbage down the client.
Yeah, because it pays a nice big fat commission.
Yeah. Most certainly a conflict.
That's part of the problem.
It's just better to stay away from them.
That is part of the problem.
It's just better. The average consumer, just stay away from them.
Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will talk about what are some things that you need to be focusing on today if you are planning on retiring in 2018. And at Hanson McLean, we've helped literally thousands of people through that retirement transition process. And actually, if you think about it, they're in the RADA program of the year, maybe tens of thousands. And we've certainly learned a few things along the way. So we're going to share some of those things with you when we come back. And also, we'll take another call or two if you'd like to be part of the program. 1-888-2-HANSON is the number. 1-888-2-HANSON. And numerically, that number is 888-242-6766. And again, we'd love to take your call. You're listening to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Would you like an opinion on a financial matter you're dealing with? Whether it is about retirement, investments, taxes, or 401ks, Scott Hanson and Pat McLean would like to help you by answering your call. To join Hanson McLean's Money Matters, call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Wondering if you're on track with your financial matters? Call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
Glad you are with us. As we kick off 2018, it's always a great time to be planning. Look at your financial life.
Yeah. Or your health. Or your relationships. Or all those other things.
Relationships. What are three steps I can do to improve my relationship with that one child that I have a problem with?
I don't have any problem with my children. They have problems with me.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're a financial show, so we're going to deal with the financial aspect.
Yeah, because...
And all the other stuff, you can figure that out.
You're going to have to listen to some...
Dr. Laura. She's still on somewhere?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Uh-huh. Anyway, it's a financial program. 888-2-HANSON is the number to join the program. Let's go to Santa Cruz, California, and talk with Mark. Mark, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hey, thanks so much for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Mark.
Thank you. I really like listening to the show.
Oh, good. Thanks.
I do. I learned so much because I'm not in your world, of course. I don't do what you do, so it's helped me along the way. I had a question. I have rentals. And I know that I have, I got quite a bit of income from them, and that's what I do on the side. I have a good business that I make money at. And then last year I spent a little over $100,000 fixing up a rental, a house, and then getting it to rent. And I have the opportunity to do another one. And I just was wondering, I could give you the numbers and see. I don't see anything wrong with doing another one.
Okay.
At some point, I got to put some. It sounds like I need to have not all the eggs in one basket, but the basket's so good, I don't.
Well, you know, a lot of people have built a solid financial life around rental income, particularly in California, because the market's been so nice. I mean, if you think about it, if you lived in Detroit the last 30 years, you'd have a very different experience than you've had living in Santa Cruz the last 30 years. Actually, in a variety of
fronts. I'd be shoveling snow.
Yeah, you'd be shoveling snow.
So tell us, share the numbers with us.
But finish my point. The thing that gets people into trouble on rentals is not the rental themselves. It's the debt.
It's the leverage.
So the last financial downturn, I don't know anyone who was foreclosed upon that didn't have a loan. It was only those that had loans that were foreclosed upon. So, it really is the closer you get to retirement, that's usually the time you look at it and say, can we get rid of the debts on these or get them way down? So what's the value of all the rental properties you own, and what are the debts on them? Ballpark.
So we have, with the houses and the house, almost a little over $3 million. Worth of rental property, and
okay.
We own our own house too.
Got it. And how much,
what do you owe on them?
What do you owe on this $3 million in rental properties?
Nothing.
Beautiful. Oh.
So what's your question for us?
Yeah. You should be doing the show.
I'm looking to do another.
Yeah. Well, why wouldn't you? Do you have, I assume that you have cash, right?
Well, what we did this time was that we have, I'm low on the cash end of the deal. We don't have that much running around. But I got a HELOC loan to cover buying the next one because I wanted to keep doing them. And I have, you know, I'm going to have about $200,000 buy the home, $100,000 to fix it up because I don't buy the shiny ones. I buy the ones that are pushed off to the side or have some issues.
Got it. So you'll own $300,000 on your HELOC, right? And then do you convert the HELOC
I only owe $200,000. I'll put $100,000 cash out of my business into them. So I only owe $200,000.
Okay.
And then it's when it's done, it'll be worth, of course, in California, it'd be worth low estimate about $550,000.
That's your hope.
But I'm going to, no matter what, yeah. So fine.
Yeah. No. We don't know that. If we knew that,
well, but I think Mark, he's not. You're not doing this to flip it. You're doing this to turn it into decent.
No, not at all to flip it.
You hang on to him.
I think flip's a bad word, actually. It's so much hard work.
So let me ask you this. If you don't have the cash, why are you trying to ram another one in?
Well, because the rent's going to be $3,200 a month.
Okay. So why?
And then I could use the cash from all the other rentals to pay it off in 2 years.
Got it. And would you just keep the HELOC on it while you pay it down?
No, I'd convert the HELOC into a 30-year to keep the monthly payments low, which would be about $1,200.
So
two and a half years.
I know what Scott's going to say.
Why not look at just getting a loan on one of these properties? Not your primary residence. 2017 would say get a loan in your primary residence, but because of the change in tax law and the limitation on deducting the interest, you're better off having the interest against your rental property.
Yes, so just go and borrow the $200,000 against a rental property and pledge that as collateral and don't go through the HELOC or the refinance process. We know what interest rates are today. You can lock it in and go with a 30-year fix. They don't care what property you pledge or what you do with the money.
Or 15-year or 30 doing 5 or 30 doing 7.
But I like the idea. I like the idea.
I just think that'd be a better place for financing, particularly with the new tax law. You're going to want the interest deductible.
So just pull one of your properties. You have a property.
And don't
there.
Worry about diversification. I know that sounds bad, but.
I know. That's because I listen to you all, and we have like 401k. My wife has like 350, and we have stocks and bonds. We have another 100 that we got from a relative.
So you've made money in real estate, not just because the real estate market's gone up. You've made money because you understand it. You buy right, you fix it up, you spend a lot of your own time doing this stuff.
There's sweat equity in there. And part of the
it's
money
not like
you're getting
buying
paid.
It's not like putting money in your 401k where you look at it once a quarter.
So we like the idea.
Yeah,
we like
it's a
the
lot
idea.
Of work, so it's not a passive investment.
Yeah, we like the idea.
Okay, good. Because I just, you know how you do, you get going on things and you think they're a good idea, and what you hear from whatever advice you get, they sound right, but I trust you guys because I hear you on the radio trying to protect your clients all the time. And I just wanted to run it by somebody that has more knowledge than I do about the financial world.
Yeah.
I mean, I could take the same 100 I would stick into this house and put it into like a 401k or something, but I don't know that it would do me any better.
It's not going to react the same because what you're doing is you're actually using leverage on an existing property. You have a zero debt situation against the
right
existing
now.
Properties. It's not, you're not levering up that much.
I was concerned you're going to tell me you had a bunch of debt on this, and I'd be, hold on.
But you're not levering that up relatively.
I'm the reverse. We paid off our houses. We paid off the one I live in.
Good.
I'm with you.
We just paid off our cars. I don't want to live in that world where, I mean, I'm self-employed, so I
have enough risk.
kind of without a job every day, so I have to go out and work.
Yeah.
So I just.
We like the idea.
Yeah.
Appreciate
the
call.
Wish you well, Mark. We talked to this Hanson McLean here. We talked about some things, or we mentioned we were going to talk about some some things to be focusing on for 2018 if you're going to be retiring soon. And frankly, if you're retiring a few years out, now's the time to be paying attention.
Yeah, if you're within 5 years of retirement, you should absolutely pay attention because it sneaks up on people. And over 50% of the population retires sooner than they expected to.
That's right.
Because of job changes, health changes, family changes.
So one of the first things is to get a handle on what your retirement budget is going to look like. Now, we understand most people don't track all their expenditures. Most people don't live on a budget. They kind of, their budget is what's coming through the checkbook today. What have we earmarked for savings or 401k or other things that are pulled out of our checkbook each month? And then we spend the rest. That's how most Americans live, which is fine if it's as long as you are living within those means, no big deal.
But when you go to retire, you have a limited resources. So you need to make sure that your limited resources provides enough income to cover your budget. So you need to understand what you're spending money on and why.
And the best way to do this, I hate to say it, is to really kind of keep track of your spending for a couple months. Literally write it down or make sure or use your debit card for everything and really take a good look at where it's going. Because if you sit and list out, here's what your expenditures are going to be, you're going to come up short. We've seen it
every time.
We used to years ago. Remember, we used to have people say list
and then detailed budgets, and then
let's say, well,
what do you really spend?
Yeah, right.
Not what do you think you're going to spend. What do you really spend? And then that's where you start your budget from.
And then figure out what things need to be added to that. So are there certain ideas you had for retirement, some travel or whatever, or are you thinking about buying a trailer or an RV of some sort or those sort of things? And then there's some expenditures that we can deduct.
Get rid of.
But that's kind of the first thing. The second is figuring out where your income is going to be coming from.
Right. And sometimes retiring debt is the best thing you can do because money not going out is exactly the same as money coming in. There is no difference.
So it might be looking at how do we get that
mortgage paid off?
Or some, we might also be looking at we've got money in an IRA. We have some money in a brokerage account that we had established. What's the best way to generate our income? Do we take Social Security now? Do we defer Social Security?
Do I take a joint and survivor pension if I have a pension available to me?
And which option do I look at? Yeah. These are the questions you want to be asking yourself months before retirement, not weeks. And unfortunately, we've been doing this long enough to see that we understand a lot of people don't really enjoy this. They enjoy doing this stuff as much as I enjoy working around the house. We get that.
You can't ignore it.
You can't ignore it. And we've had people come to us
last minute.
I mean,
like, I've got a retirement offer. I need to make a decision by 5 o'clock today. Can
literally,
you get me in at 9 or 10?
Literally.
Yes.
I've had 60 days to deal with this. Now it's the deadline. Can I come in and see you today?
And it's human nature to put off what you don't enjoy. It's human nature.
So really getting a good handle on where that retirement income will be coming from.
Where is your debt? How much do you owe? Who do you owe it to? What's the cost of money? Does it make sense to pay down your debt early?
Further, what kind of risks are lurking in your portfolio right now that you may or may not even be aware of? You know, we've had a huge run-up in the stock market, and if you haven't rebalanced your portfolio in a few years, your equity position is much larger than what it was 3 years ago. Now, is that right or wrong? It depends. But
depends on you.
If you had what you felt was the right asset allocation 3 years ago for you, now you're 3 years closer to retirement, I would venture to say that your asset allocation should either be the same or less in risk. But the reality is you probably have more risk in it today because of the run-up in the equity market. So having a good handle on what that risk looks like is important.
Scott, we use the word risk all the time. What is the definition of risk?
Losing your money.
Yes. It is an outcome different than what you expected. That is
probably a good way to put it.
If you expect the portfolio to do 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and it down by 4, 5, 10, that is risk.
I mean, let's say you got $1 million saved up for retirement, right? your 401ks and whatnot. You get $1 million saved for retirement. What happens if that falls to $800,000 your first year in retirement, or $700,000, or $600,000? The last 20 years, we've had two major downturns. One would expect that we'll probably have another bad downturn in the next 20 years.
So you can actually do a pretty good job of measuring risk in a portfolio by what you own. What is the probability of a decrease or an increase based on market conditions?
What would that translate into dollars?
Into your life.
Yeah.
That's risk.
And take some time doing it. As Pat said, for a lot of people, it's not fun. Here at Hanson McLean, this is the kind of test that we run our clients through, and clearly those that are nearing retirement.
We run a stress test on these portfolios.
Yes.
People come in with their portfolio and say, hey, what do you think? We think, well, let's build some models and stress test it.
And if you're taking some risk, making sure you're being compensated for that.
That is the biggest cost in a portfolio, is that people are not being adequately compensated for the risks they're taking. Right? That is the biggest.
They think they're diversified because they have four holdings, but the four holdings all tend to do the same thing, so they really don't have the diversification there.
The other thing you should worry about, think about, is health insurance. Where is it going to come from?
Obviously a biggie.
Medicare,
which
supplements.
Is why it's very challenging to retire before age 65.
Do you need long-term care insurance? Is there anything else lurking out there?
And then further on, some tax planning. If you're about to retire, there's a good chance you'll be in a lower tax bracket after retirement than you are during retirement. Not always, but it could create some opportunity for either doing some Roth IRA contributions if you can, or maximizing an after-tax contribution in a 401k that you plan on moving to a Roth afterwards. It's a great opportunity, frankly, if you've got a high income year to do an after-tax contribution to your 401k once you've maxed out the contribution limits.
And then you can convert it to a Roth. And if that sounds confusing, it's because it is.
Because it is. Anyway, these are the things you need to be thinking about. And it's the beginning of 2018. We strongly encourage you to meet with a qualified financial advisor if you're within a few years of retirement. I mean, here at Hanson McLean, obviously, we'd love to have an opportunity to meet with you. And we don't charge anything for our consultations and kind of let you know what our process is and whatnot. But there's other great advisory firms there out there as well.
Don't we have a little video on our website, how to choose a financial advisor?
I don't know. We have a lot of good tools on our website.
We do. Jasmine, we have one on our website.
Oh, there we go.
Yes.
So we're somewhat self-serving and like we'd like to.
Well, we want you to do background search on us as well.
That's fair. And we've got a great team of certified financial planners at Hanson McLean. We clearly do. But there's other some good ones as well. I would encourage you. Actually, that's a good way to do it. But get with an advisor this year. Get this quarter, get with an advisor.
And then do a little background search on the advisor.
Beforehand.
And then meet with them.
To make sure you're retirement ready. Because as Pat had stated, roughly half of us are going to retire earlier than we'd planned. Because of a health issue of ourselves or a loved one or change in jobs. Those are the two biggies there. Anyway, that is our things to be focusing on for 2018 as you're nearing retirement here at Hanson McLean. And if you'd like to be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, 1-888-2-HANSON is the number to join the program. Again, 1-888-2-HANSON. Now we're going to turn to the time of our program where we talk real advice. And during this segment, we talk with one of our financial advisors at Hanson McLean and hear situation that they dealt with a client and how they addressed that situation. And I want you to keep in mind that the experience that this particular client had is unique, and your experience may or may not be as good as that.
It's going to be unique, but we're not allowed to tell you that it's all...
We're not allowed to use client endorsements.
Yeah, it's all rosy.
So
we have to say,
this is
what happened with this client. It may or may not happen with you.
There we go. So today we've got Lori Cairo is our guest. Lori Cairo is a certified fund specialist. She's an advisor with Hanson McLean, has been for over 7 years, and she meets with clients in our Roseville, Northern California office location. So Lori, thanks for being part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters today.
Oh, great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so tell us about the situation you dealt with.
Okay, well, I had contemplated, you know, a story to tell that maybe would resonate with some of our listeners, and I had a recent situation with this client that I thought I'd share. And we had this client come to us less than a year ago, and he was referred by a family member that is a client. And he was a retired school administrator. He was receiving two pensions, his and his late wife's. And he had several different 403B accounts that he had accumulated over the years with directly with mutual fund companies through his school district. And it's common with some of our educators and school employees to be able to select from a list of approved carriers and have multiple, you know, accounts. That
yeah,
they
it's
can
it, it's a strange thing. If you work for a large employer, you have a 401k. Everything's been pre-vetted. There's a list of 10 or so funds to choose from. If you work for a school district, historically, you've had these financial advisor salespeople roaming the halls, bringing in pizzas, selling everything from equity index annuities to variable annuities to mutual funds. Right. And you could have been sold several products throughout your career, which it sounds like this is the case here.
Right. And so his situation then was he had cancer, so he had knew he had a terminal illness, and he had had this for about 10 years, but he just realized that he probably needed to consolidate some things and needed some help on reviewing, you know, his entire situation. The main reason he came in was he had missed his required minimum distribution from one of the accounts from the previous year. The reason was the school district had changed third-party administrators, and he had some frustration and confusion in whom to contact to get the paperwork that he needed.
So what is the penalty for missing the required minimum distribution, Lori?
50% of the amount that you were required to take if you didn't take it.
50%.
And then taxes on top of that, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
So if you miss the required minimum distribution, once it's all taxes and penalties, there's not much left.
No, that's right. Yeah, I know. Okay.
Right. And in his situation, he did have a CPA he was working with for his taxes that was assisting him in providing the documentation when he filed his taxes to show that he had reached out and tried to take that distribution. It was eventually taken at the beginning of January, but I think that the CPA can assist in filing, you know, a forgive me letter or some something with the IRS to allow to make an exception or to show that it was tried to be taken in good faith.
And blame it on the third-party administrator change.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so he had a few things that were going on. The RMD is one of them. So he wanted to consolidate assets. He realized that having to contact three different companies and third-party administrators to take this required minimum distribution, that if something should happen to him, his beneficiaries would have the same frustration and confusion in whom to contact and how to get paperwork and so forth. So he was looking at wanting to consolidate accounts into one account, meeting with one advisor, having one main point of contact, I think to simplify things for himself, and also should his beneficiaries need to contact someone, they would have a main point of contact. And he also, in reviewing with him, we came across an account he had titled as Joint with Rights of Survivorship with his late wife, the account directly with a brokerage firm. So,
and how long had it been since his wife had passed away?
Several years, I want to say over 10.
Wow. And there was still an account with joint tenants with his wife listed on it. Yeah. That's pretty common, though, isn't it, Lori?
Yeah. Yeah, he had a family trust. He just had not changed the titling on that account or not known how or needed help with that. So.
And then what was the next steps?
Well, and then he also had, you know, I wanted to review with him his equity exposure. He has, you know, investments at these mutual fund companies where he had selected one fund, you know, years ago, and there wasn't a lot of diversification. And even though he had multiple funds available through those mutual fund companies, he had just, you know, not really looked at everything with a fine-tooth comb, and he was really allocated 100% equity, which was based on our assessment of his level of risk was much too high for him. And so we were able to, you know, assess that as well.
Well, good. Well, he was lucky to have you, Lori.
Yes. Yes.
Right. So I assisted him with a number of things. We consolidated everything to an IRA, the 403B accounts and the paperwork and so forth that we needed to do that. We changed the joint account to title it with the name of his trust. And he had been very comfortable with being able to come into our office and sit down personally with an advisor and establish that relationship so that he was comfortable and he knew that if something should happen to him, his beneficiaries would be able to, you know, have one main point of contact.
Yeah.
And so the reason I wanted to bring this story up is that I was just, you know, notified a couple weeks ago by one of the beneficiaries that he had just recently passed away.
Oh.
And, you know, it's a difficult thing for we advisors to work with it, but it happens, and we have to be prepared for that. And the reason that we're here is really to help not just our retirees and our clients, but also to help families.
It's true. Yeah. It's true. It is. Yeah. Lori and I met with a widow recently together for the first meeting, and her husband, when he was alive, said, you know, go visit with Hanson McLean when I pass on and work with him. So yeah. You do a great job with that stuff, Lori. Great job.
Yeah. Thank you, Lori.
Right.
Thank you very much for taking some time and sharing that story with us. You know, it's interesting, Pat. So much of when we engage with a new client and they come to be part of Hanson McLean, it's through a retirement process, right? They're nearing retirement or they're planning for their retirement a few years out. And there's that it's a new season, a new chapter in life. But then life continues and everything that life entails, which includes death and passing of loved ones. And that planning part is so important as well.
But and we get many clients too, Scott, that come in. This gentleman had been retired for a number of years where things were just kind of chaotic and he didn't know that there was actually a choice until he was referred in by a family member, said, you know, it doesn't have to be this chaotic. You can actually manage money without this chaos and missing required minimum distributions. And yeah.
Well, to your point, Pat, it doesn't always need to be that complicated.
Yes.
You can make it complicated if you'd like. A caller earlier in the program, he's got a bunch of rentals. He wants to buy yet another rental.
He's okay with it.
He's okay with it, which is fine. Great, right? Perfect. But for many people, your financial advisor should not make your life complicated.
It's
your financial
advisor is oftentimes better.
Should make it simpler. And you don't necessarily need many different accounts. Sometimes consolidating your accounts into a fewer. You could still be highly diversified. All within their one account. Anyway, we are out of time for this particular program on this kicking off to the new year. And so we're glad you took some time to be part of our program. If you don't listen to us via podcast, we encourage you to give us a shot that way. So if you go to HansonMcLean.com, you can get all the information on how to get our podcast or just sign up for it on your iTunes or your other place you get your podcast if you're on a different device and get our podcast delivered each week. And I know I get alerts on Saturdays when there are new podcasts. On my phone. Hey,
do you listen to yourself?
No, of course not. It's a terrible program. But we encourage everyone else to. Anyway, I hope you guys have a great 2018, and we'll see you next weekend.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors, a registered investment advisory firm. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor, tax consultant, or estate planning attorney to conduct your own due diligence.